Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitchell Finley. I'm Finley. I'm in a tent in Ashburn, Virginia. Say I'm 30, 35 miles west of Washington, D.C. Brian Mitchell, NFL legend, B. Mitch, as many like to call him. Lord knows where he is. I think he's 50 miles into the eastern shore of Maryland on his way to riding a bicycle from Washington, D.C. to Dewey Beach. And I got to be honest, it's a little nuts. We're expecting to hear from B. Mitch. He's been sending us photos. He seems fired up. Seems like he's doing well. I texted with him last night to tell him to take his ass to bed because he had an early morning. I believe he started on his bike at 4:30 in the morning. We are always proud, impressed, and a little bit scared of what a maniac B. Mitch is. Let's say good morning to the boys in the aquarium. Hello, Jeffrey. Hello, Landini. How do we do?
Hello.
What's up?
That's true psycho behavior from B. Mitch.
What up? Sure. It's also standard, though. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
Like the weird stuff I do, we've all grown accustomed to it. The maniacal stuff Brian does, we've all grown accustomed to it. Listen, man, there's a pretty major news story going on around the world, frankly, that I think we got to at least address. I am lucky. My guy Toby Altizer is going to sit in with us for most of the day, maybe the whole damn day. We'll see. Good morning, Toby. How do you do?
What's going on?
Nothing. Toby and I are out at training camp. We're going to go through kind of what we saw, what we heard from the head coach. We should hear from Emmanuel Forbes and Tyler Biadasz at the podium today, which will be cool. You know, this staff is certainly sticking with Forbes. Like, he's getting a lot of work, a lot of opportunities. And, dude, a year ago, the whole NFL had him graded as a first-round pick. Now, they didn't probably not ahead of Christian Gonzalez like Ron and crew did. But outside of that, he was going to go top 20, top 25, no matter what. There's clearly talent there. Maybe they can get it going. They claim he's added weight. I'm not sure I see it, but we'll hear from Forbes a little later. That's going to be interesting. But listen, there's a story that has kind of taken over the world, and the Olympics have been largely a ton of fun. I watched Simone Biles. I try to I try to not pay attention during the day and then just watch the primetime coverage because that's just how I enjoy it. Unfortunately, I knew that she won, but it was still incredibly cool to watch because, I mean, just the level of talent is unbelievable. But this global boxing story has emerged, and generally we would avoid stuff like this. I know it matters a lot to Jeff. Jeff's a very opinionated person when it comes to boxing and rules and weight classes and really just how everything shakes out. And I don't know, frankly, that I am the right vehicle to start providing opinions on what's going on in boxing and what has people, you know, so enraged and feeling so decisive and defensive. And I don't want to put Jeff in a weird spot and make him be kind of our chief commenter on this. But Jeff, the one boxer I know that you have felt strongly about for some time, and I know that, you know, this thing is starting to cross over into pop culture, mainstream culture, political culture, all of these things. And, like, let's not get up in arms about boxing, all right? As a show, I'm ready to take a stance. I don't know if you guys are all ready to walk this plank with me, but here we go. I want Terrence Crawford to beat Israel Madrimov this Saturday, and I can't wait to watch Eminem perform during the fight. Are we all ready to root for Terrence Crawford this weekend? Is everybody on board?
Of course. You're crazy if you're not rooting for Terrence Crawford this weekend. It is going to be a beatdown.
I can't believe the two of you would say something like that. I'm Israel Madrimov 100%, and I frankly think it's outrageous and offensive that you would suggest otherwise.
You're insane. I'm willing to bet some money on that
one. Damn it, Lampfill. How dare you polarize our nation by taking Israel Madrimov over Terrence Crawford with Eminem in attendance?
Look,
how dare you?
Your terrible takes are dividing the show, and I won't stand for it anymore.
Oh, God, I enjoyed that. All right, yeah, watch that fight if you want to. We're going to talk about football. We're going to talk a little bit about I did watch the gymnastics last night, and what Simone Biles – now, all three of the women that medaled – is that the right term? We're going deep cut Olympic talk here. All three of the women that medaled last night were incredible. I had no idea, zero idea, the backstory on Suni, that she had quit gymnastics a year ago. She had, like, this rare kidney disorder. My wife was telling me all this, and I was just blown away by it. What's cool about the Olympics is it's sports I never watch and people I haven't really heard of. But then you're blown away by the human element, right? Like, just the perseverance. That's such a cool story. My wife, I knew Simone Biles, like, had to quit gymnastics for a while. I didn't know why. And my wife explained to me that last night, that basically she got up in the air and then freaked out about where she was going to land. And it became like a mental thing. It made me think of, like, Rick Ankiel, unable to pitch, or Chuck Knobloch or something. And for her to come all the way back and then give that performance, I'm gonna tell the truth here, Toby. It was a second TV. There was no audio. But we stopped the regular TV because my wife had already watched it, and I'm just watching it for my own personal records. And we stopped to watch that with audio, and her, what do you call it, the floor?
Yeah.
The floor exercise?
Floor routine, yeah.
The athleticism and specifically the verticality are just out of this world. Like, how do you generate, you're just running on the floor. Like, how do you generate the speed and velocity needed to jump that high?
Well, I saw someone was complaining because they were talking about the Brazilian that got the silver. I think she was Brazilian, Andrade or whatever. And
yeah,
they were talking about the vaults, and she landed a near perfect vault, if not the perfect vault, and it was great. But then they compared it to what Simone was doing, and she was complaining that, how does she get a perfect landing and all that, and somehow Simone scores higher? And you watch the videos next to each other, and you're like, well, Simone's doing like three extra flips.
Right.
Like, she does stuff that just no one else can do, and it's impressive because, like you mentioned, she essentially got the yips for gymnastics. And, like, you know, it's different. Like, if you're a pitcher and you can't throw the ball in the zone, that's fine. Like, it sucks, and obviously that's going to hurt your livelihood, but it's not going to physically harm you. Whereas, right. like, if she gets lost in the air and has no idea what's going on, she can hurt herself big time. And for her to come back and perform like she has at this Olympics, it's been incredibly impressive. And the way that she does it, too, it's not like she squeaks by. She
totally.
Just dominates these people.
And for the ladies to win gold as a group and then Biles to win gold on her own and Suni to win bronze, right,
bronze,
on her
yeah.
own, it's just so impressive. But, dude, it cements my theory on the Olympics. I enjoy all of it, but I very much prefer – like the events where someone wins to the events where there are judges. Like, give me track where people are just racing and you know who won. Like, swimming, people are just racing and you know who wins. Like, even diving, I think they should have a contest just to see how high people will dive. Like, just move it up 10 meters every time. Like, that would be badass. But diving becomes like judges, right? Gymnastics becomes judges. And then, like, the idea that, like, oh, I submit my routine beforehand and they know how difficult it is and then I'm graded out on my difficulty meter. Like, it's incredible to watch, but I'm way more into, like in skiing, right? Like, I like the downhill. Like, let's just have some speed, baby, versus the, I don't know, like ice skating. Ice skating's really cool, but ice skating to me is similar to gymnastics, and I just like track, skiing.
Yeah,
like, give me the downhill.
I want
to
see
the speed.
People going at each other, right? Like, that's why watching swimming's awesome when you're watching someone chasing someone
down.
There
was an awesome
in that final
swim
50.
Race last night, I thought. How about Katie Ledecky? Dude, our boy Troy Macker posted some stats last night. Katie Ledecky, what is her race? The 1500 meter, I think?
Yeah, that's her main race, yeah.
Yo, she is unbelievable. Katie Ledecky now has the same number of all-time Olympic medals as Chile, Israel, and Malaysia.
Wow.
That's crazy,
wow.
right?
It's insane. And the thing is that you got to respect her for is, like, she could mail it in on some of the other events knowing that she just dominates the 1500.
Right.
But she's out here trying, what was last night, the 4x200?
Yeah.
Like, that's clearly not her event. But she's out there,
well, dude,
and she's
I think
probably
she
the best American swimmer.
The 200 free or something. Yeah. But that Australian girl, listen to this one. And this one hits close to home for me because it is home. Despite the moronic beer at the grocery store policy. I will read this. If Montgomery County, Maryland was its own country, it would rank in the top 50 for all-time Summer Olympic medals.
It's incredible.
That's crazy.
It's incredible.
All right, last Olympic note. This is a good trivia question here. Which country has the most Summer Olympic medals? And we'll ask the boys in the aquarium this too. Which country has the most Summer Olympic medals without a single Winter Olympics medal?
Ooh. Most summer without winter. Australia? No, it can't be Australia.
I don't know what Australia's getting winter medals in, but they must get something.
No idea.
You got a guess in the aquarium, boys?
I know the answer.
Okay. I appreciate your honesty. Jeffrey?
I don't have a guess. I'm over
Cuba.
Here.
Okay. I don't know what you said, but I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah,
Cuba
I was about
has
to talk when you started
Olympic
talking.
Medals. There must be a lag because I'm on my end, that's not happening. Cuba, then Brazil, then Greece, then Kenya, then Turkey. All have a bunch of Summer Olympic medals, no Winter Olympics.
But speaking of Turkey, did you see that guy that won the shooting that everybody loves?
Yeah.
Like, everyone else is wearing this specialized stuff, and he's just out here just straight up raw dogging it with his glasses.
I like that
going
guy.
At it.
Yeah, that guy's cool. All right, we are at Commander's training camp. I see on Twitter, Linnell claims it's day 8. I will go with that. Training camp just becomes this living being that just lives and goes. So I don't know exactly what to expect. What we saw today, it is, I would say undoubtedly the hottest day out here so far. Based on that, I wouldn't expect it to be too long of a day. Does anybody remember, like, 2 days ago when Jaden Daniels not being the starter was, like, a big storyline? Or at least a manufactured storyline? Well, that's over because he's out there with the ones. He's so clearly the starter and the best quarterback out here. Continues to impress. I think he continues to look good. Like, the number one story all offseason, all training camp, when we get to these preseason games, is what's up with Jaden Daniels. And I would say, you know, through more than a week now of training camp, Jaden Daniels looks good.
Yeah, he looks really good. And I think the thing that impresses me most, JP, is, like, whatever he's able to do this year, that's yet to be determined. He has barely ever put the ball in harm's way out here. And I mean, seriously, it's never in harm's way. Like, he had a deep ball today where he's throwing it to Diami. It was good coverage by Forbes. It was just overthrown. Like, I can live with balls that just are never in harm's way. He's not going to turn the ball over because for so many rookie quarterbacks, that's their bugaboo. They just turn the ball over. They're not able to get from one to two to three, and then they panic. And for him, that hasn't been the case. He just has not put the ball in a place where the other team can pick it off. And I think that's going to really help him going into this year as he continues to progress and get better and play against these teams is, you know, can he continue to protect the ball like he did at LSU? And if that's the case, then you feel good about what they're going to be able to do because you're just not going to be giving the other team short fields.
Yeah, man, he was so good in college at protecting the football. And when you listen to Terry and Jahan specifically talk about his ability to put the ball in not just good but great spots, like just where defenders can't get him, where only they can make a play on the ball, that stuff is really impressive. In his last two seasons at LSU, he threw seven picks. And he dropped back a combined, I'm not a math guy, but 700 times, 388, 327. Like, the percentage, the interception percentage of his throws is so low. Now, it'd probably be a little naive to expect it to stay that low. And when you have Malik Nabers running around against, you know, a six-year senior that is never going to the pros, that makes a difference too. Like, there are some factors there, but the other thing that I noticed with Jaden is not only does it look good, but it's not everything at the line of scrimmage. Like, he is trying to push it downfield kind of consistently, and that doesn't only mean, like, deep shots, but it means those deep crossers. I think we've seen a lot of his wideouts and tight ends realizing that they can sit down in a soft little spot on his own, and he'll find them. Did just have a pick. This I don't believe it was a Jaden throw, but Tyler Owens is a young safety we've talked about a lot, undrafted guy out of Texas Tech. He just grabbed a pick. I think the bottom end, and I actually asked Dan Quinn about this today. The bottom end of that safety roster is going to be really tricky to figure out. And one of the factors that's really going to be tricky with it is saving a spot for Jeremy Reeves, which all signs would point to they're doing. This group re-signed him, and they re-signed him relatively early. They gave him some guaranteed money. Like, they treated him like a priority, and generally when you do that, that player is going to be a part of things. One, don't want to say issue, but one thing to keep an eye on. I mean, I was watching at practice today, so there's no Derek Forrest. Derek Forrest is out today, a little bit of a hamstring injury. And DQ said not a long-term thing, could be back in a limited role as early as Monday. They're off tomorrow. They're back Sunday. I kind of – speed guy, hamstring – I always tend super cautious on those things. I see Defoe being out a little while. Defoe hasn't really been – they're doing a lot of rotating, which is important to note. But it's been a lot more Percy Butler than I was expecting. And then it's Chin and Kwan, and those are kind of your safeties. I think eventually you'll get to a place where – You've got Forbes and maybe St. Juice and Samerstill, and then I won't be, and then probably Kwan and Chin. Maybe some of that Percy roll and Samerstill moves outside. I don't know. There's a lot of moving parts, and unfortunately, injuries usually have a lot to do with it. Kind of try to get some information on that from DQ, and he's like, a lot of it's dictated by what the offense is doing. So I think all that is quite important. I want to get into some nuts and bolts stuff. We expect to hear from a few players at the podium. We are just getting warmed up here on B. Mitch and Finley. At some point, B. Mitch is going to call from his bike ride. Going to be a fun day. It's a Scotty's Vodka Rebel Friday.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
They starting. Lee 106.7 The Fan. 10:30 in the morning in Ashburn, VA. And all of our Commanders training camp coverage is brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Insulation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Vodka Rebel Friday starting at 11. Toby, you ready? What time are you going to have your first Vodka Rebel, Toby?
Well, whenever I have one, it's the first time I've ever had one. So.
Bemis just sent us a video. I'm not sure what it says, but we'll watch that in the next commercial break. I think we're going to talk to B fairly shortly here. I don't know if he's all the way to Dewey Beach or what.
Today's the wrong day to go on a bike ride.
Yo, it is hot, man. It's the wrong day to stand around and watch football practice, let alone ride a bike to the beach. But he'll enjoy it. Some stood out to me this morning. Sam Cosmi is I'd say fan favorite, as much as a guard can be a fan favorite. Second round draft pick a couple years ago. going into the last year of his rookie deal. First 2 years for Cosme, up and down, dealt with a lot of injuries. They're trying to play him at tackle. Last year they moved him inside, played him at guard. He thrived. He was also able to stay healthy. Today, speaking at the podium, Dan Quinn went out of his – he was asked, you know, what players have been impressing you, and he brought up Cosme specifically. You know who's paying attention to that is Sam Cosme's agent. You're seeing a lot of deals get done around the league. Right now, like, look at New England. I mean, they're just re-signing everybody they got. But I'm curious with Cosme. I think a lot of people are like, oh, get it done. With an extension like that, you might be able to get that done into the season. Maybe his agents won't want to talk once the season starts because they're that much closer to free agency. My thought on a Cosme deal, you'd like to get it done. Adam Peters, coming from San Francisco, has – I mean, that's an organization that re-signed their own guys pretty regularly. And I would feel relatively optimistic that it gets done. I don't know that it has to happen in August is all I'm saying. Like, it could happen – if you look at sometimes these deals get done the first week of the season – I want to say John's. Maybe John's was right before training camp, but hardly a time crunch in like a, oh, it's not done yesterday, this thing might go sideways.
Well, how much are you thinking he's going to get? Because the top paid guard currently, I think, is Landon Dickerson. He's at 21. You got a couple guys at 20. Quentin Nelson's at 20. You got Lindstrom just over 20, 20 and a half. You got Robert Hunt just got signed in the offseason at 20. You thinking somewhere in that range? I mean, he's been looking really good out here at camp. Like, I think he's had some good reps against Allen and Payne, which is the best you got. And he's looking more and more comfortable at guard. And last year was a real standout year. Are you thinking he's going to get top of the market type money? Because I would think you're going to have to go probably in that area.
Probably, honestly. And I think as offenses have shifted to, you know, quicker pass games, interior pressures become – if you look at the money they're paying D tackles that can rush the passer, you know, you look at Quinton Williams, you look at Dexter Lawrence, like you look at John and Duran, the interior pass blocking has become vital, and that's a guy that can do that for you. And if you look at cap space, I mean –
They've got it.
It's kind of crazy that the Niners are technically the team with the most cap space this year.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all driven by Purdy on a rookie deal. But the Commanders right now are at about a little under $40 million in space. They can get it done. I think that this group probably wanted to see Cosme a little on their own. And I mean, dude, if you're Sam Cosme and you've got Quinton Williams next week, probably, like, in some capacity, you're going to get some work against him. That'll be pretty damn interesting. And I think it's certainly possible a Cosme deal gets done before October.
Well, and to your point, it's what? Quinton Williams with the Jets and then Christian Wilkins down there?
No, he signed with Vegas.
Yeah, that's right, he went to Vegas. But either way, I mean, you look at those joint practices, and maybe that's something they're looking at. But I think your point is correct. Like, they hadn't really seen him up close, and he really only played the one full year at guard. So now you get to see him at work with John Allen and Daron Payne. And really, I mean, there's not many better duos in the NFL than that anyway. So you get to see him at practice, see how he's doing against these guys, and he's held his own. And, you know, you go into a off season next year, if you're not able to keep him, like, you got a lot more questions on the O-line. When you can solidify Cosme, you got Biadasz. If Coleman continues to play well, then you're looking at an offensive line that was a big question mark going into this year. And if those guys are all solidified, you're looking at a much better strength of that offensive line going into next year.
Right. I'm with you. They have an opportunity. To me, the O-line, if Coleman hits, and Dan Quinn today talked about Coleman – I mean, just the eye test. It's interesting, as we were leaving the field, I said this to Ant. I think you were standing there. Like, when you look at Coleman next to the other offensive linemen, he does look like a guard. Because, I mean, Cosme's taller than him. Wiley is taller than him. And I honestly, I mean, when he stands with the offensive line group, it's the listings versus the size of those dudes. But I think the tackle position is so... The footwork is arguably what's most important, unless you're just a true monster of a human like a Jonathan Ogden or a Joe Jacoby or something. Like, if you have good feet, it makes all the difference in the world, because Trent Williams, not the biggest tackle in the NFL, but he's got... I've watched Trent practice so many times, and 6'5", 320, but he's got... Like, I watched the Olympics last night, and the balance beam is so bananas, what these women are doing on the balance beam, and it's 4 inches wide, and how they can, like, hold their body up with their big toe. Like, that's the kind of stuff Trent could do. Like, his feet and his balance are just so phenomenal, and I think that's what they're hoping to see, where... It reminds me of Moneyball, like when you read that book, and they're all about, Billy Beane and that crew is all about trying to figure something out with a guy you know can play, but maybe doing something different. And so, yeah, like conventional wisdom, conventional scouting, you look at Brandon Coleman, you're like, all right, that's a guard. But when you realize he can play tackle, and then you look at the RAS scores, and you look at all the tape from multiple years at TCU playing multiple positions, you don't know if it's going to work. Obviously, Jaden working is the most important thing. But if you get your left tackle of the future on a third-round deal, that is immense value.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see what he looks like when you go out for those joint practices with the Jets.
Too.
Because, you know, if there's a position that maybe doesn't have any star power for Washington, you know, it is that edge rusher position. Like, Dorrance Armstrong's a solid player. Dante Fowler, Cleveland Farrell, like, those are solid guys, but there's no real standouts. Whereas you go up and take on the Jets, and they've got a couple of first-round picks up there that'll go against him. And just something that's different, a different look. You get accustomed to going against the same guys every day. You know their moves and whatnot. So I'm interested to see how he does up there, because it's to your point, like, if they can have a guy that they drafted in the third round step in and be their left tackle, and he doesn't even have to be spectacular right away, but if he can just be a solid left tackle that you got in the third round, you got to feel really good about that value. And I think, you know, you're right, maybe the size doesn't look like it, but he looks like a tackle. When you watch him out on the field, he looks fine. I've never seen him just look, you know, completely out of place, and I think that speaks more to how he's been doing versus, you know, seeing him dominate one-on-ones.
Well, dude, and part of that, to your point, is also why I want to see this secondary against Rodgers. And I tweeted something out earlier, you know, that DQ, I think, is starting to feel somewhere between good and better about the secondary. And I think Aaron Rodgers will just present such a good idea if what we're seeing from a... It's easy for practice to look easy. Like, these guys have seen the same stuff for months. And then Rodgers, Garrett Wilson, who else did they sign? Mike Williams, I think.
Yeah, Mike
Williams. Breece Hall. Like, that's going to be a real test. And you haven't seen what they do. And I think it's going to be a really good test. And I feel bad in a way, because fans will be fired up for the preseason game. First time they get to see their guys. And, you know, it's always... Like, even last night, that Hall of Fame game, when you watch the uniforms come out and they're on a grass field, you get fired up. But I don't think you're going to see much at all in that preseason game, unless you're really into Marcus Mariota and Tyrod for the Jets.
How much do you think Jaden will play, or is he going to play at all? Because I think he'll play, but very minimally. And if you're a fan wondering why they wouldn't do it, I mean, you look at joint practices, and there's just so much more you can control. You can get them into that perfect environment. It's not live, so you're not going to, you know, risk injury as much when it comes to the quarterbacks. And then the other thing is, like, you know how it is, JP, when you're playing in a preseason game, you don't know what situations you're going to get. Yeah, you want to see them go the length of the field, but if you want to work on red zone, there's no guarantee you're going to be in the red zone. So you can kind of work on those things in a joint practice. So I think you'll see him, but how much do you think we'll see of Jaden?
In that preseason game?
Yeah.
None.
You don't think he'll play at all?
I don't. Maybe. Maybe a series or two.
Yeah, a series or two I would think makes some sense.
I think a lot of it will depend how Thursday goes. If Quinnen Williams and the Jets' D-line is just kicking down the doors against Washington. I wouldn't put him out there.
Well, and I think that's the one concerning thing that I've seen from Jaden out here is at times you'll see him get off and run, whether it's a design run or something. Man, when he cuts it back up the middle, it gets scary. Like when you're thinking about what's
going to happen.
He did it today. And
it looked like a little like trap draw. I don't know what it was, but.
And what's going to happen in an NFL game when he's actually getting hit? Hopefully, you know, it's something that he doesn't have to learn the hard way, but that's the one thing that's concerned me is at times you see him make some different moves and they're fine and that's good in practice, but when the guys are live and they can actually lay a lick on you, I'm a little scared of that.
Yeah, I don't blame you. All right, I think practice is wrapping up. Wale is here. A lot of moving parts. We are hoping to hear from Emmanuel Forbes, Tyler Biadasz any minute. B-Mitch is going to call us at some point. Donna Hopkins is going to join us at 11:30. Nobody go anywhere. 7, the fan. Baby, don't hurt me. About to talk to Luke McCaffrey here in a minute, I think. We're waiting on Emmanuel Forbes going to the podium and Tyler Biadasz. Biadasz is a really good talker. Going to be interesting with Forbes, man. Do you think – I don't know that they can get him turned around, but if anybody can, I kind of think this is the staff to get him turned around. Does that make sense?
100%. I mean, you got a guy in Trayvon Diggs that had – fantastic seasons with DQ out in Dallas, and then Deron Bland is that same sort of corner that's aggressive, sometimes gives up the big play, but can break on the ball and turn the ball over. That's what Emmanuel Forbes was sold as, and he didn't do a whole lot of that last year. I'm interested to see how they use him. He's been good at times, and then Terry's torched him at times, and so I'm interested to see how he does when you throw out some different receivers. But I like the fact, too, that he's out there and taking the challenge of going up against Terry and trying to get better. I think Terry and him were talking through some of the stuff that he did out there the other day when he was able to beat him on a deep route. You know, I think that's just helping him get better. Hopefully it's something that transfers over into the season.
I agree. I think we're going to see a lot of Mike Davis. I don't know how excited people are about Mike Davis. And then whatever you think about Benjamin St. Juice, I think you're going to see a good amount of him as well. But kind of beyond that, I think it's going to be interesting to see the only guys under contract beyond next year are Emmanuel Forbes. So they're probably going to have to draft. They're probably going to have to address corner. But, like, that doesn't mean if he can't play or plays at a similar level he was at, you keep him out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, they're not forced to do anything with him. So I'm interested to see exactly what they do because Sanra still is probably going to lock down that nickel corner spot. I think you are right. You're going to see a lot of Michael Davis with BSJ. And something that's interesting with that, PFF put something out a while ago talking about the most physical corners last year, guys that just made the most contact with receivers. And both those guys were in the top 10 last year. So maybe they're going to play a little more press coverage and up on guys. And I don't know how Emmanuel Forbes fits into that. But I am interested to see because this is a defense that they talked about when Joe Witt was hired about going after the ball and turning the ball over and guys being able to make plays. And we didn't see that from Forbes last year, but that was his selling point coming out of college. And he would fit into a mold if they're trying to turn the ball over.
I feel like chasing interceptions is really silly because the variance on that is just so high. But at the same time, I think these guys, these defenses between Quinn and Witt and Dallas specifically, were so good at generating turnovers that they legitimately might be able to do it. You flip that, though, like, is that also a factor of having Micah Parsons and Tank Lawrence and, you know what I mean, and guys that can get after the quarterback? Because nothing increases your chances at turnovers like getting after the quarterback.
Well, and I feel like their big issue last year was Jack Del Rio was generally just a solid, he didn't want to allow the big plays, even though he did allow the big plays. It was nothing spectacular, right? It was like, I'm going to let the talent do its work, but it's very vanilla type stuff. Whereas I think with Joe Witt, when they preached these turnovers last year, I think trying to force the turnovers like they talked about was getting out of character. I think forcing the turnovers with Joe Witt and Dan Quinn, I don't think that's out of character because I think they're throwing so much at the quarterback that sometimes they're just going to be confused by a look and think a guy's open. They're going to throw it right to someone. And when you have guys that are aggressive, can play the ball and jump on it, like a Forbes, maybe he's able to stand out more in that sort of system than a system that's maybe more of a laid back and trying to keep everything in front sort of defense.
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the issues for that secondary particular was how complicated everything was. And then if you look at you don't want to, like, I'm not trying to bash anybody, but what happened from a defensive coaching staff last year where they lose Harris, their defensive backs coach. There's some discussion of if they even knew they could lose him, and sure enough, they could. And they just promoted within a guy, Brent Wieselmeyer, that had never run his own room and really never had NFL coaching experience outside of working with Jack Del Rio. Like, he doesn't have – he hasn't coached anywhere but with Jack. And I'm not taking a shot at Vies, who's a good guy, but, like, I think that room really suffered. And then you add young guys in that, you know, Forbes wasn't ready. He certainly wasn't ready for the role they had for him. And then putting Forbes against A.J. Brown, you got probably the least physical corner in the NFL against arguably the most physical receiver in the NFL. It just crushed them.
And that makes no sense to me, JP. That's just bad coaching because when you look on the other side, they got a guy literally nicknamed the Slim Reaper. Like, that's the same size as Devontae Smith. Like, if you wanted him to go one-on-one with a really good receiver, it made sense to go against Devontae Smith, not A.J. Brown. I could have told you, even if Emmanuel Forbes had proved that he could be an all-pro, that's a tough matchup because he's just going to out-physical him at the catch point.
Yeah, and I think kind of going forward, I think this staff is way better at moving guys around and giving different looks, different options, all of those things. And I think, you know, B often says how much he thinks this is going to look different because the coaching staff is different and how just coaching can make such a huge impact. And I think we sometimes sleep on that, but I still think talent says a heck of a lot about how things are going to go. And I just don't know how talented this secondary is. It's going to be fascinating to watch. Here's what else is going to be fascinating to watch. We're about to have a million moving pieces here. We're hoping to hear from Tyler Biadasz as well as Emmanuel Forbes. B. Mitch is supposed to call in at some point from the Eastern Shore, Maryland, on a bicycle. And then Donna Hopkins is going to join us at 11:30. So my best advice, Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday starts in merely 5 minutes. Nobody go anywhere. 7, the Fan. Baby, don't hurt me. About to talk to Luke McCaffrey here in a minute, I think. We're waiting on Emmanuel Forbes going to the podium and Tyler Biadasz. Biadasz is a really good talker. Going to be interesting with Forbes, man. Do you think – I don't know that they can get him turned around, but if anybody can, I kind of think this is the staff to get him turned around. Does that make sense?
100%. I mean, you got a guy in Trayvon Diggs that had fantastic seasons with DQ out in Dallas, and then Deron Bland is that same sort of corner that's aggressive, sometimes gives up the big play, but can – break on the ball and turn the ball over. That's what Emmanuel Forbes was sold as, and he didn't do a whole lot of that last year. I'm interested to see how they use him. He's been good at times, and then Terry's torched him at times, and so I'm interested to see how he does when you throw out some different receivers. But I like the fact, too, that he's out there and taking the challenge of going up against Terry and trying to get better. I think Terry and him were talking through some of the stuff that he did out there the other day when he was able to beat him on a deep route. You know, I think that's just helping him get better. Hopefully it's something that transfers over into the season.
I agree. I think we're going to see a lot of Mike Davis. I don't know how excited people are about Mike Davis. And then whatever you think about Benjamin St. Juice, I think you're going to see a good amount of him as well. But kind of beyond that, I think it's going to be interesting to see the only guys under contract beyond next year are Emmanuel Forbes. So they're probably going to have to draft. They're probably going to have to address corner. But, like, that doesn't mean if he can't play or plays at a similar level he was at, you keep him out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, they're not forced to do anything with him. So I'm interested to see exactly what they do, because Sanra still is probably going to lock down that nickel corner spot. I think you are right. You're going to see a lot of Michael Davis with BSJ. And something that's interesting with that, PFF put something out a while ago talking about the most physical corners last year, guys that just made the most contact with receivers. And both those guys were in the top 10 last year. So maybe they're going to play a little more press coverage and up on guys. And I don't know how Emmanuel Forbes fits into that. But I am interested to see, because this is a defense that they talked about when Joe Witt was hired, about going after the ball and turning the ball over and guys being able to make plays. And we didn't see that from Forbes last year, but that was his selling point coming out of college. And he would fit into a mold if they're trying to turn the ball over.
I feel like chasing interceptions is really silly, because the variance on that is just so high. But at the same time, I think these guys, these defenses between Quinn and Witt and Dallas specifically, were so good at generating turnovers that they legitimately might be able to do it. You flip that, though, like, is that also a factor of having Micah Parsons and Tank Lawrence and, you know what I mean, and guys that can get after the quarterback? Because nothing increases your chances at turnovers like getting after the quarterback.
Well, and I feel like their big issue last year was Jack Del Rio was generally just a solid, I'm not going to allow, he didn't want to allow the big plays, even though he did allow the big plays. He was just, it was nothing spectacular, right? It was like, I'm going to let the talent do its work, but it's very vanilla type stuff. Whereas I think with Joe Witt, when they preached these turnovers last year, I think trying to force the turnovers like they talked about was getting out of character. I think forcing the turnovers with Joe Witt and Dan Quinn, I don't think that's out of character, because I think they're throwing so much at the quarterback that sometimes they're just going to be confused by a look and think a guy's open. They're going to throw it right to someone. And when you have guys that are aggressive, can play the ball and jump on it, like a Forbes, maybe he's able to stand out more in that sort of system than a system that's maybe more of a laid back and trying to keep everything in front sort of defense.
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the issues for that secondary particular was how complicated everything was. And then if you look at, you don't want to, like, I'm not trying to bash anybody, but what happened from a defensive coaching staff last year, where they lose Harris, their defensive backs coach. There's some discussion of if they even knew they could lose him, and sure enough, they could. And they just promoted within a guy, Brent Wieselmeyer, that had never run his own room and really never had NFL coaching experience outside of working with Jack Del Rio. Like, he hasn't coached anywhere but with Jack. And I'm not taking a shot at Vies, who's a good guy, but, like, I think that room really suffered. And then you add young guys in that, you know, Forbes wasn't ready. He certainly wasn't ready for the role they had for him. And then putting Forbes against A.J. Brown, you got probably the least physical corner in the NFL against arguably the most physical receiver in the NFL. It just crushed them.
And that makes no sense to me, JP. That's just bad coaching, because when you look on the other side, they got a guy literally nicknamed the Slim Reaper. Like, that's the same size as Devontae Smith. Like, if you wanted him to go one-on-one with a really good receiver, it made sense to go against Devontae Smith, not A.J. Brown. I could have told you, even if Emmanuel Forbes had proved that he could be an all-pro, that's a tough matchup, because he's just going to out-physical him at the catch point.
Yeah, and I think, kind of going forward, I think this staff is way better at moving guys around and giving different looks, different options, all of those things. And I think, you know, B often says how much he thinks this is going to look different because the coaching staff is different and how just coaching can make such a huge impact. And I think we sometimes sleep on that, but I still think talent says a heck of a lot about how things are going to go. And I just don't know how talented this secondary is. It's going to be fascinating to watch. Here's what else is going to be fascinating to watch. We're about to have a million moving pieces here. We're hoping to hear from Tyler Biadasz as well as Emmanuel Forbes. B. Mitch is supposed to call in at some point from the Eastern Shore, Maryland, on a bicycle. And then Donna Hopkins is going to join us at 11:30. So my best advice, Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday starts in merely 5 minutes. Nobody go anywhere.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.